everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this special podcast from Brad Huddleston Ministries. Today, we're going to be talking about politics. Now, everybody is talking about the election. Everybody's talking about what is happening in the news, or in the case of what's not happening in the news, there's a news blackout in the mainstream media. We want to talk about that today. I have a very special guest today. I'm so excited that we're going to embark on this. Now, look, we have a regular podcast here from Brad Huddleston Ministries, but we're going to be doing extra podcasts dealing with some of the political situation here in America. My very special guest today, and you're probably going to be seeing this man quite a bit, this is Pastor Ray Eppard. Pastor Ray, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here today.
Oh, Brad, I greatly appreciate you offering for me to be here. Always enjoy fellowshipping, and I'm glad we've gotten to do more of that over the last little bit as well.
Yeah, we sure have, Pastor Ray. We were at the Falkirk Center, Beth and I were, and we get on this bus from the hotel, and the Falkirk Center, for those that may not know, is a political organization under the umbrella of Liberty University. And we get on the bus, and there's this masked man. Everybody's masked, I think, but Beth and me. And you started talking to us. When you pulled your mask down, it was Pastor Ray Eppard. And I really think God did something on that conference, during that conference between us. And you and I just got together, and we've had fellowship since. We had a great time together at that conference. And we said, you know, God is probably up to something, and we need to do something for our county here in Augusta County. So here we are. And I guess I just want to jump right into this, Pastor Ray, just in way of introduction. you are a pastor at Victory Worship Center in Stanton, and you've been there for quite a while, haven't you?
This past October made 37 years. So I've got a couple years under my belt.
Congratulations, though. That's a milestone, which means you're not a fly-by-night guy. You've been around, and I've been around this valley for a long time, and I can't help but believe, you know, God has saved us for such a time as this. Pastor, tell us where the church is located, and I have some graphics there that our good friend Sam, who's engineering this, is going to put up on the screen so folks can find you.
All right, good deal. We're at 200 Hammond Lane in Stanton, Virginia. You can see us from the interstate, anybody that's familiar with the area. We're across the road, across the interstate from the Harley-Davidson shop. And so you can see us from there, but you got to get off. And it's a little harder to get to us than it looks. But once you know it, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Ray, I'm glad that you're up there. I see your church all the time coming up down the interstate. And it's a blessing to see you there. You know, there aren't, and I told you this a number of times, and you already knew this, there just aren't very many pastors who speak out or even deal with the subject of politics. And does the Bible forbid mixing religion and politics?
No. And in all reality, even the Constitution of the United States doesn't forbid that. I believe that one of our problems as believers is Jesus talked about the kingdom of God primarily when he was on the earth. If you look in the Gospels, he referenced the kingdom in some form 122 times. He referenced the church twice. Now, we have it kind of backwards. Now, we are a part of the church, but we have kind of put the church above the kingdom, where in reality, the church is a part of the kingdom that is supposed to facilitate kingdom activity. And if we look at the world through the church, well, that's one thing. And in all honesty, it ends up leading us to some wrong conclusions about Scripture, where if we look at the world through the kingdom and the church through the kingdom lens, then we begin to understand a lot of things that Jesus said, and we begin to see them fit together. Because you see, when we understand the kingdom of God, everything is a part of the kingdom. Every nation, every government, every business is all a part of the kingdom of God. And that's why every person, every nation, every organization will end up being judged by God. It's accountable to him because it ultimately belongs to him. It doesn't belong to the church. The church is an agent of influence in the earth for the kingdom. And so with that, we have to understand the church is an agent of influence, but the kingdom, everything is supposed to line up with the kingdom of God. That's where we have to start. But if we think that, well, the church, you know, we're not supposed to have control over this. Well, that's true. That's true. We're not supposed to control governments as an organization, but as agents of the kingdom, we're supposed to influence the world, and our assignment as the church is specifically that. The word ecclesia that Jesus used, the two times he used that for church, which is honestly a poor translation, but that was really identifying in Jesus' day. It was identifying a group that determined what was allowed and not allowed within the community or the area that they were representing, whether it was a city, a region, or a nation, the ecclesia, if you would. And Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia. In other words, Jesus is expecting the church to advance the kingdom culture into the world. And so we have a responsibility to be engaged when we're seeking first the kingdom.
You know, and I'll take that a step further, Pastor Ray. As you know, I until the pandemic, for the last 20 years, I've been traveling quite a bit, yeah, not only across our country, but around the world. We truly have a unique country. There is, yes, such a thing as American exceptionalism, and that's not an arrogant statement to say we're exceptional, no, above other people. It just means our founding was very, very different, where most, if not all, the other countries of the world, the government dictates the rights, when our founders, who were predominantly faith-based, yes, people, not all born-again Christians, but certainly agreed on the tenets of Scripture, they realize that we have been endowed by our Creator, right, with certain inalienable rights. And so the government technically is supposed to work for us and not us for the government. But it all goes back to God. And yes, so that's where we, the people, get our rights. And that has been flipped on its head. And that flipping started probably 50 years ago, at least, when, yeah, a lot of the Marxism began to infiltrate and so forth. And it's sort of come to a head recently. Now we find ourselves playing catch up. But I would just add to my, you know, in questioning you, which I want to probe that a little bit further about speaking to pastors. We are very blessed in this country to have rights as believers, because this country was founded predominantly by believers. And so we have a double right to participate in these things, and we should. But as the old saying goes, it's not what you say, it is how you say it. I would like to know, Pastor, again, coming back to what I originally said, there are not a lot of pastors who speak, especially from the pulpit. They may outside of the pulpit, or you have come up with something very creative to deal with it within your church and the body of Christ here locally. What prompted you to go out on a limb and start a podcast and start talking about politics as a pastor?
Well, in one sense, I'll blame God because it was something that he stirred on my heart, and it became either an act of obedience or an act of disobedience. And I'm not saying that everyone will be at that spot, but that was something that was really strong within my heart from that that regard. But from this, again, going back to the concept of seeking first the kingdom, God judges nations. So if he's going to judge America, then his word contains the criteria by which we will be judged. So at that point, I certainly, as a believer, as an individual, as a dad, as a husband, as a member of the community, I want God's blessing on our nation. So I want to look at what his word says about that and then help us move to a place that we're in a place of blessing and not something else. We don't need that. But with this, one of the things that I probably do, I really don't present things in a partisan way. That doesn't mean I do not have strong feelings, and doesn't mean I don't have strong leanings in different directions. But from the truth of Scripture, the Scripture is not partisan. The judgment is not partisan. God's not going to say, hey, I like the Republicans and you Democrats, you're in trouble, or vice versa. But there are some very basic things that I think we see even in the book of Genesis at the very beginning. Because to me, there's three foundational principles for a government and what God expects. And that is justice, liberty, and equality. Those things are the basis. That's where it all starts. If you use a math analogy, those have to be the lowest common denominator that we have to go to begin to solve problems. We've got to go to them. That's what we have to build on from there. And that's not partisan.
You know, you're going to find a lot of people, and you already know this, Pastor, but they're going to disagree with what you just said. They're going to believe that God is Republican.
Yeah.
And they're going to believe that we have to choose a side and we have to vote. And I think what you have done is so creative in terms of dealing with this. I would like for you to address two things. I want you to, number one, tell us what you did to initiate this discussion of politics within the church and how you handled it, the day you chose, some of the practical mechanics. And the second thing in that answer, I know that there are pastors who would love to be able to speak out, but they're just afraid to do so. So encourage them. So number one, tell us what you actually did, the mechanics of how you went about addressing it and what you set up. And then in so doing, encourage other pastors that if God is moving on them, they should have the courage to step out as well.
Yeah. I would say the first thing I began to do was I began to sprinkle concepts into different messages that it really wasn't, again, it wasn't partisan. Now, from that standpoint, I understand that when it comes to elections, when it comes to policies, I have a stand that I take, and it does eventually become partisan in some ways, but it doesn't need to be partisan from the pulpit,
right?
Because we're assigned to proclaim truth, and as long as we stay with that, then it's not partisan. Because in all honesty, there's enough you can point out on both sides that's a problem. But with this, I just began to point out different things about Scripture. You know, when it comes to equality, and I'll be honest with you, that's something that has some different views on the different sides, but it is very plain in Scripture that God tells us to not treat people differently. And that concept should be implemented into our laws. And so there's not a Democrat and there's not a Republican. If you just present it on the basis of God wants everybody to have the same rights, everybody should be treated fairly, everybody should be treated equal, in concept, you're not going to find either party that will straight out disagree with that. Now, when they get down into some of their other things, you'll find that there does become some differences. But if you begin with some of the basics, especially in talking to a congregation, we have people that are on all sides of issues. And the bottom line is, so far, we have had some that didn't like certain things when I mentioned something. But by and large, Democrats, Republicans, both agree with the concepts. They agree with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
So you set up a podcast, and what I want to do is I'm going to have our engineer, Sam, whom I really appreciate you, Sam, a lot, letting me bark out orders, by the way. If you would, Sam, put that graphic up of where the different places are in social media that we can find Pastor Ray's materials. Pastor Ray, we've got, that should say libertyjusticehq.com. Sorry for the misspelling there. But you're on all the social media platforms, enough of them there, and you're also on the radio. So just go down through the list quickly there and tell us what you're doing. Is it a podcast, or a podcast and a radio show? Just tell us what you're posting.
Yes, on the Liberty Justice HQ, and that's kind of connected with the Facebook. I mean, our website is RayEppertOnPolitics.com, or you can get there through LibertyJusticeHQ.com. Both ways will get you there. The primary thing that we present to the public under Liberty HQ is the Facebook. Through Facebook, we put on our radio program. We're getting ready to go to podcast with video in February, but we'll also put up daily quotes about different things, concepts regarding liberty, regarding the basic truths of scripture as it relates to politics, usually related in some way to what's going on right now. On YouTube, you can listen to our radio program. I've also done a number of teachings. I called it God's Rules on Government, where we went through, it doesn't cover everything, but it covers some foundational truths, and you can go listen to those on YouTube or on the website as well. And then on ESPN 1240 on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, that is a current event based radio program. We also put that on the website as well, but we deal with current issues. Like this coming Sunday, we will be kind of wrapping up the year, and we'll be looking at, you know, honestly, some things I don't understand. I said, you know, 2020 has been a strange year. And so I'm just throwing out some things. You know, I don't understand this about 2020. And it's designed more to fuel some thoughts and to get people to think. Because one of the things that I firmly believe, as far as where we are currently, I'm a country boy. I was raised in the country. I'm not that deep in a lot of ways, but I use the analogy of a frog in a pot. You know, you set a frog in some hot water, he's going to jump out. But if you set him in some cold water, turn the heat up, he'll sit there and he'll let you boil him. And right now we have a situation in our country to where the population, the citizenry, is the frog in the pot. And there's a lot of things that make no sense outside of a conditioning of the population. They just don't make any sense otherwise. And so I throw out some of those things and look at a few of them, as well as a couple of things I think are going to happen next year.
There's a profound urgency. You and I, we mentioned the Falkirk I did at the beginning of this. Yes. Falkirk Center down at Liberty University. And I was sort of surprised after we came home from that. There were pastors, by the way, that were gathered from all over the state of Virginia. We were addressed by Governor-elect Good. One of our state senators addressed us. The prosecutor from the town of Bedford addressed us because they've been in a lot of hot water with the governor. So there's just all this division, right, and all this stuff going on. And so there's this urgency for us to do something about it. And I received a phone call almost at the, you know, just a few days after that conference, that they're going to have another one in January. And you and I had, we met for lunch, and you graciously invited Beth and me out to lunch. And you and I talked that we really wanted to do some things this upcoming year out of that urgency to bless our county. And we're hoping that the other counties will also be sort of a vein, have their own vein connected to the Falkirk, so that we can then regionally get together. But you know, I have some ideas. I'll share that in a few minutes. But Pastor Ray, I just want to know prophetically, what is on your heart for 2021 as we, I mean, here we are kicking it off with a podcast now, and I really don't know where this is going to go. I have some ideas, but what's on your heart?
Yeah. Well, I believe that there's two paths out in front of us. I do believe that everybody virtually in the United States understands right now that we are at a critical point. The problem is that most people are looking to the political parties to make the change. In our country, it's always been the church getting engaged in the issues of the day that has made positive change prior to the Revolutionary War, prior to the Civil War. When the church gets engaged with truth and its application in society, it always produces liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where there's religion, there's bondage. and so not looking for the religious part, but the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that 2021 is going to be the beginning of the time that the church begins to step up, because it's critical. Another thing that virtually everybody in this country knows is we are greatly divided. And that if there isn't some change, if there isn't some change, we're headed for trouble. And the Democrats are not the solution. The Republicans are not the solution. Now, it's going to process through them, but the solution is the church, the body of Christ, even ministers, beginning to teach the truth of God's word in relationship to government, in relationship to life, and begin, if you would, to pull both parties, because we do need a two-party system. If you understand politics, one party is a problem. That creates tyranny every time. We need to have a two-party system. So we have to pull both parties closer to the truth of God. And that's the only way that I personally believe we're probably going to be able to avoid conflict in the streets. And by that, I'm talking about greater conflict than we have seen this year. If the church does not step up, big problems are ahead. Big problems.
I agree with you 100%. And Pastor, it was about 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I used to teach down at Blue Ridge Community College as an adjunct in between some trips. And eventually I couldn't teach anymore because I was gone too much. But I became friends toward the tail end of that with a professor by the name of Jim Wright. And every year we would have a conference on campus for incoming freshmen. And so we would gather and invite students from all over, whoever wanted to come to Blue Ridge Community College, and we'd have this conference. And we would bring Liberty University, we'd bring Regent University and some of the other universities there for them to sort of look around to see where they may want to go in the future. And we would prep right. them for what they were going to encounter, especially on a secular campus. But I remember back then, I gave a talk on the topic of political correctness. And it was simple. Where did it come from? I mean, it had to come from somewhere. Political correctness didn't just appear magically. And right. to make a very long story short on what I lectured on that day or gave a talk on that day, it's cultural Marxism is what it is, and it stems from yes. the old Marxism that actually failed when the workers of the world failed to, you know, take up arms. Mm-hmm. And so then a group of intellectuals, Marxist intellectuals, got together at the Frankfurt School in Germany, and they began to hatch a plan on how they would defeat the West and its Judeo-Christian ethic and supplant it with Marxism. Well, one of the things that they vowed to do is quite a number of things they vowed to do, and they did it quite successfully, but one was to march through our institutions, particularly the education systems. Oh, yes. And they did that, and they've even made inroads into the church as well. So you find wokeness and social justice even in churches. Mm-hmm. But here's where I'm going with this next question. I agree with everything you said. 2021 is going to be a very critical year that either we repair this divide or we're in trouble. But here's where I'm going with this. The ideologies are spiritual in nature. Judeo-Christian is spiritual. Right. Marxism is very spiritual. It's a religion because it is a set of mm-hmm. beliefs, and it is the antithesis of Christianity. I mean, it's the opposite morally and right. every way you can think of. So here's my contention. I want your thoughts on this. I believe, and you said something at lunch the other day, that God did not move during our first and second great awakenings until the church got involved in politics. Yes. And I'm not trying to stir up trouble. I understand people's apprehension, but I would like for you, I assume you agree with me that the battle that we face, I know you do agree with me, is spiritual at its root. Talk about what you know of what happened prior to those first and second Great Awakenings when the church finally decided to get involved in politics.
Yes. Well, in the first Great Awakening, they began to look at things in regard to how England, King George, was treating the colonies, and they began to look to the scripture. They began to look to God. See, because he's always the source of our help. And if we want something fixed, we got to go to God. And that's what the church began to do. And they began to preach what they were finding in scripture about government. Because in all honesty, and this is the backdrop of scripture that we miss sometimes. If you look from Exodus, particularly through Malachi, it's all about God speaking to nations through his people, God establishing a nation. Even prior to that, in Genesis, you have Abraham who is interacting with multiple nations and leaders. Even in the New Testament, a lot of times we miss it that the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, were all a part of the ecclesia of the Roman government. They were brought in. If you remember the crucifixion of Jesus, Pilate told them, he said, you deal with him, you punish him. And they told him, said, no, we can't, because we want to kill him and we don't have that authority. You see, they had civil authority as religious leaders in that day. And we tend to miss that distinction as we're reading through scripture. But scripture never draws a delineation between life and politics, because the bottom line is they're all intertwined. And in the first Great Awakening, they began to look at those things. In the second Great Awakening, which God started moving in people's hearts, and they wanted to please God. And they realized that slavery was the greatest sin of our nation at that time. And so the entire anti-slavery movement was birthed or came out of the church. And again, it brought liberty. Now, one thing I do think that is different in our day and time now, those first two basically did end up creating a war. We are in a different place now because, as you mentioned, Marxism has marched into America, mm-hmm. and it is a little at a time taking away rights and freedoms, and that in this particular case, us turning to God in this is the only thing that will prevent a war. Otherwise, that's where we're headed, and you can see the writing on the wall, as it were. And so we need to look to God about what he says. We have to start with the simple things: liberty, justice, and equality. I like to harp on those because that's the foundation. Until that matters to us, then we won't be able to go further.
And Pastor, without bringing the law into this, the bad side of the law, we need to resurrect a fervor for prayer and Bible reading, not where you're checking a box, where God is this big ogre displeased with you if you don't pray enough. None of us pray enough, so let's just get that out of the way. But I'm talking about where we really have a heart connection, where we want to pray. We take joy in praying, knowing that God is in ultimate control, and he will move his hand over this nation again if we will but tarry with him just an hour a day, or whatever God is, you know, above that God is calling us to do, because the hour is very, very dark. So on the one hand, we have to be in the natural. And what I want to do is I want to put some alternative news sources up on the screen for folks. Now, we all know CNN. We all know MSNBC. We all know Fox News. But we also, in dealing with it in the natural, to get a more complete picture now, because we have censorship in America, thanks to Marxism, there's Newsmax. Yes. I strongly suggest Turley Talks. This is a Dr. Steve Turley. He's a Christian. And this guy is very level-headed and extremely smart in his dealings with these subjects. I've learned a lot from him. NTD.com, OANN.com, and the Epoch Times Com. So we'll just leave that up there for just a second. And so and you know, these guys are biased, just like the mainstream media. But to get a complete picture as you're dealing with this in the natural, I recommend that you have a look at those websites as well. And then out of that, formulate your prayer list and formulate how you want to pray, because you're going to see we're on that side of the news that I just showed, the other side of the news, we are polarized to a very, very dangerous degree. Yes. And I'm not advocating that we have unity for unity's sake. I'm advocating, like you are, Pastor, that we make it about the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is the only thing that's going to ultimately solve that. But I just want some people to have a little bit more balanced view. And I put that up there for the benefit also of those in other countries who contact me regularly saying, you know what, we only get one perspective here. Can you tell me what's going on? And so I refer them to those. But I also then, you know, want to just say that outside of the international thing that I do, Pastor, I'm stuck home because of the pandemic, and it's going to take more. I agreed with you when you talked about, you know, localizing it, then we connect regionally and then on a state level. So if pastors would want to get in touch with either of us, we would be very open to that for future podcasts or maybe even a conference. I have no idea. But we can also talk to you about the Falkirk Center and so forth. So what you can do, if you want to contact me, and if you need to get a message through to Pastor Ray, I've given you his church website and all of his contact details from his other social media outlets. You can message him. But on mine, brad@bradhuddleston.com is the email address, brad@bradhuddleston.com. And my website, where you have links to all of my social media as well as my podcast, is bradhuddleston.com, bradhuddleston.com. So if you want to get in touch with us and you want to participate in some future events, particularly if you're a pastor here in Augusta County or close by, and you're saying, you know what, I would like to get involved, I'd like to have coffee with you guys, I want to talk about this to my congregation, but I don't know how to. Pastor Ray, am I correct in saying you and I are wide open to host and to fellowship and to encourage and build up, not tear down, but to build up other pastors here in Augusta County in particular? So why don't you address from your heart what you would want to say to the pastors and other leaders here as well?
Well, one thing that I would like to say, that if, you know, we've just celebrated Christmas, and one of the things that I'd never really thought about it a lot before, but God sent John the Baptist first. Jesus' ministry was tremendous. It had tremendous success, but John was sent first to prepare the way. There's things that have to be done to prepare the way, which is why we have to teach on certain things in a nonpartisan way. And with that, one of the things I would challenge everybody to look at is our founding fathers that were believers talked a lot about providence. And that's the understanding that God oversees things. But they understood it in a different way than we do. They understood that God's providence did not do away with stewardship. It did not do away with personal responsibility. Unfortunately, in our church culture today, much of the providence of God, people look at it in a way that it really does away with stewardship. God's going to take care of it regardless of what I do. If I don't do my part, God's still going to make his will happen. And there is an element of truth to that, but that's not the full truth. And one of the things I would strongly encourage people to do is begin to look at their belief system regarding stewardship. Because if God just makes things happen on his own, then we really have no accountability for any stewardship. But we do have an accountability. It is a point of we live and then we die, and there is a judgment. So with that, we have to understand, and I'll just throw this out, that when you look at what Jesus said throughout the Gospels about the future, he talked about being made rulers over cities, being made rulers over nations. The scriptures talk about us reigning and ruling with Christ. Then why wouldn't he use our involvement in our current nation as a little bit of the criteria for determining our role in eternity? Stewardship is huge. And part of our stewardship is what we do with our involvement in our nation. And we have to begin to assess that more fully.
You know, I want to contribute to that too, Ray, that like a lot of people, I have a lot of family that were in total agreement over the political situation, the spiritual situation, and others not so much. Right. The scripture talks about breaking up the fallow ground, which is the hardened soil. And for anybody that's ever had a garden, I grew up with a garden, you have to get out there and till it after winter because things have settled. You've had snow on it and it's dried, and you have to get out there and till it up and break it up. What prayer does, it breaks up the hardness of someone's heart. So yes, long before you can sometimes have a conversation with someone, you have to lay a really strong foundation of prayer so that God can get in there with a tiller. Yes. And make that soil soft and put some fertilizer in there so that when we come in to put the seed of the gospel and even politics in there, that it'll find fertile soil. And so let's not forget that really this battle is not in our flesh. It's so tempting to get into heated arguments with people, but you never, ever, ever get anywhere. Once the volume goes up, conversation is over. And really, at the Falkirk Center, thank God we were all Christians there, but you know, I just thought, and we had great worship, and I was thinking, finally, we can have a sort of a political rally here that is truly God-focused from the very beginning, and that's what I think needs to bleed over into the rest of our conversations. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, and there's a scripture that goes along with what you're talking about. In Ecclesiastes chapter 22, not Ecclesiastes, Ezekiel 22, God was talking about how the land had an impending judgment coming. And he sought for someone to pray. And he makes one of the saddest statements that I believe is in scripture, but he found no one.
Yeah, no one.
And he then basically says the judgment came. And again, prayer is a part of our stewardship. Mm-hmm. I mean, God was wanting to prevent judgment from coming to the nation. But because no one took up that stewardship of prayer, then judgment came. Even though God evidently felt there was a way to avert it, but he still needed somebody to pray. You know, I believe it was John Wesley is the furthest reference that I have found that goes back to where he said, "It seems as though God can do nothing on the earth unless a man asks him to." And God works through our prayers. God works through our requests. And what Ecclesiastes 22 tells us is that the same thing that James said. If we're not having, it's possibly because we're not asking. Are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for people's hearts and minds to be turned? Are we really seeking that? Or, as you mentioned, are we just in the flesh and just they're whatever? And, you know, that's not producing anything if we do that.
Amen. Well, Pastor Ray, you and I could go on for a long time, and we are going to go on for a long time, but we're going to do it in stages. And speaking of prayer, what I would like for you to do is begin to wrap things up for us. But I want you to be spirit-led. No time constraints on this, Pastor. I'd like for you to just pray as the Spirit leads you. When you say amen, I'll also pray and close us out. Okay. So would you mind doing that for us?
Oh, glad to. Glad to. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I do firmly believe that you established this nation, that in your providence, you brought about this nation, which has been historically one nation under God. Father, I thank you for that. And just like you have plans for each one of us individually, You have plans and purposes for nations. And so, Father, we pray for this nation. We pray yes. for the people of this nation. Father, your word tells us to ask of you rain in the time of the latter rain in Zechariah chapter 10. Father, we ask for the outpouring of your spirit to be upon this nation. Father, for there to be a newness and a freshness within the hearts and the minds of people. That, Father, the things that have been distractions to us as a nation, Father, that those distractions would lose their power. Father, that those things that cause us to look in a different direction than you desire us to look, Father, we pray for those things to lose their power of influence. Yes. And Father, even as the Apostle Paul prayed, that your word would have free course and be glorified. Father, yes. we pray for your word to be exalted in this land. Father, you yes. said those that hunger and thirst after righteousness would be filled. Father, I pray for a spiritual hunger to break yes. out throughout our nation, for there to be a hunger to know what God says. For Hallelujah. People to desire, what does God say about this? I pray for the work of your spirit in the hearts of people to create that yeah. hunger. Because once that hunger is there, Father, you have promised it will be filled. You will yeah. fill that place of hunger with your presence and with your truth. So, Father, we yeah. pray for a hunger in the people of this nation for truth, to know what you say. And Father, yes. we ask for boldness. Again, even yes. as Paul prayed and asked that he would be granted boldness to speak your word. Father, I pray among those that you have called to lead, behind pulpits and in groups, wherever they are, Father, not in some religious manner, but all of those that you have called to lead, whether it is behind a pulpit, behind a microphone, behind a counter where they're working. Father, we Hallelujah. Pray for them to have understanding of your truth and to be able to speak a relevant word to this society. For Father, you're not willing that any should perish, but that yes. all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Yes. Father, help us bring that knowledge of the truth. Help us yes. bring that knowledge of a truth in such a way that it feeds their hunger and causes yes. them to turn toward you. Father, we yes. thank you for it, and our trust is in you. In Jesus' yes. name. Hallelujah.
Father, we do praise you, and God, we do call upon yes. the name of Jesus. Would you move throughout this county? Would you move throughout yes. this valley, Lord Jesus, and throughout our state and throughout our country?
Thank you.
God, we cannot do this unless you move. And we're crying out, God, for a renewal, a great awakening, a revival.
Yes.
God, would you come and soften all this hardened ground that has divided us, God, on both sides of the aisle. And Lord, yes. would you speak? Would you speak to both sides?
Yes, thank you, Father.
Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, oh God. Father, yes. call in those who have drifted so far to one side or the other that they've no longer depended on your leading, but they've gone off on ideology, they've gone off on man's way of handling mm-hmm. things. Would you bring yes. them home, God, as prodigals? Would you start there? So, Lord, I pray your blessing yes. over those of us in ministry. Would you embolden us? Would you refill us with your spirit every day, for we are leaky vessels? And God, give us the courage and the boldness and the leading of the Spirit and the yes. encouragement of the saints on how to deal with this, when to deal with this, the methods we are to use. But God, we want to put the kingdom out there first and foremost above everything before yes. we even talk politics.
You,
so, God, help us with that. Bless Pastor Ray. God, pour your spirit back into him. Thank you that he stepped out on the front lines of this battle. And I pray your hedge of protection about him, his finances, his family, his health, everything about him, God, his church, his congregation. Protect them, God. And may the Spirit of God rest upon them in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Amen.
Well, I want to thank all those who have joined us. And would you help Pastor Ray and I get this video out? I want to put a couple of different links up there. My website, as I put up a few minutes ago, is bradheddleston.com. But there's an alternative to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. And I'll go ahead and have Sam put that up now. It's youtube.com/@ Brad Huddleston TV. And that's where you can find YouTube. However, YouTube is starting to censor, as you know, and this video may or may not stay up. So there's an alternative that many of us are turning to called Rumble. It's a video site called Rumble. And you can find my channel there, rumble.com/Brad Huddleston. So rumble.com/Brad Huddleston. My Facebook, where this is being streamed, is at Brad R. Bradley Huddleston. Facebook at R. Bradley Huddleston, /R. Bradley Huddleston. But the alternative to that many of us are starting to migrate to is a new social media site called Parler. And so you can check us out at parler.com/Brad Huddleston. I'm going to post these videos there. And I am also, Sam, if you would put all the social media contacts for Pastor Ray back up there, and I'm going to send this video over at the completion to Pastor Ray. Now, that's Liberty Justice HQ. I, again, apologize for that misspelling, but all the others should be spelled correctly there. And so help us get the word out. Share this video in all of its forms. Check out Pastor Ray's radio show and his upcoming podcast, but his videos are there. I had a look at them today. And spread these things around. Let's be kingdom-minded. So, Pastor Ray, thank you very much. It's been an honor to get to know you even more. We've been on each other's radar screens for years, but God did something at that conference, and yeah. God willing, we're going to continue to team up this year, and we are going to watch God work. We're just going to watch God work. Yes. I'm believing God to work. So thank you for taking time on this inaugural time that we're together to join me.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all you're doing. You know, as you said, our paths have crossed, but briefly, because we've had assignments, and I do think a lot of our assignment currently is parallel. There's a lot of assignments that we are doing that will run right beside each other, and so I do believe there's going to be a lot more interaction with you and even others, because I do believe that we are headed to some tremendously exciting times spiritually. I am extremely optimistic because I believe that the church is going to step up and good things are going to come of it. And again, thank you, Brad, for all you do.
Well, it's a privilege, Pastor Ray, and thank you. And for those of you who have been watching this, maybe sometime in the middle, you can go back again and rewatch this entire video. If you'd like to help support what we're doing at Brad Huddleston Ministries, our ministry has been turned upside down in the way that we are, have been funding ourselves over the last many years. We're watching God provide. But if you'd like to help further with that, just go to bradhuddleston.com and look for the donate button right up at the top of the page. We'd be so grateful if you'd consider doing that. But regardless, pray for us. Pray for Pastor Ray. Pray for me. We have, on my end, working on some evangelism things coming up for 2021, and we're going to keep you posted. So God bless you. Sam, our engineer, thank you so much, buddy. We love you very much as well. So God bless you, and we will talk to you real soon.